We're going to kick off with the rent pressure zones issue, Louise, in the Irish Examiner over the weekend, I think on Saturday, and again on this week on Sunday, the Taoiseach saying that change was going to come. That's always known that there would be some change in the rent pressure zones, but he put a particular emphasis on this and not a huge degree of clarity as to what might come afterwards, but definitely the current system is inadequate, seemed to be the sentiment coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he moved to kind of row back on comments he was in Brussels yesterday. And there had been a lot of concern when Micheál Martin said that there would be changes to the rent pressure zone. He didn't rule out on Sunday when on this week, when he was asked if they would be ended. The rent pressure zone legislation, of course, has been in place since 2016, and it caps the amount that rents can be increased by, but to either 2% or the rate of inflation, whichever is lower. And a lot of people, we heard in the Dáil today, a lot of people really depending on that rent pressure zone legislation to ensure that their rents don't increase. So what Micheál Martin was saying is that it is going to be reviewed, that it could involve some big changes to it. He referenced the Housing Commission report, which it's quite interesting because in the last government, it didn't really seem like much heed was given to that Housing Commission report. There was criticism that the then Minister, Dara O'Brien, didn't meet with them enough, didn't consult with them enough, didn't really pay enough attention to their report. But Micheál Martin in the last week or two seems to be referencing it quite a bit. And he was saying that there is things in that that could replace the rent pressure zones, such as reference rents, and that would look at the rents of in a locality in based on the size, based on where you are, and it could set the rents. So there definitely seems to be change coming. We don't quite know what that change is, but he did make an attempt to row back on it yesterday and say he never said he would scrap it.
And the particular issue that he seemed to be highlighting was that there was insufficient investment being attracted into the build to rent sector. The state could put up 6 billion, but there was up to 20 billion needed coming into the sector, that the private sector should be incentivised to make up the difference. And maybe that's where the concern is coming from, that people might see increased rents providing that incentive.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that we didn't hit our housing targets last year. We thought we were going to have 40,000, given what the government were saying. It ended up being 30,300, which was even below the housing for all target of 33,000. And Jack Chambers, the public expenditure minister in the Dáil today, was saying that, listen, we're going to protect renters. We're going to make sure that no one is hit in the pocket. But it costs 20 billion euro to build 50,000 houses a year, which is where we need to get to. And that money is just not ring fenced in housing for all. It was initially 4.4 billion or something like that, and it has increased, but it's certainly not at 20 billion. And the message that the government is trying to get across is, listen, if we want to hit these targets, we know we need to build more houses. We know that building more houses is how we address affordability, how we make rents go down lower. So to get the number that we need to incentivize private building. Now, how that is done is the big question. Micheál Martin kind of indicating it was initially reported in the Irish Times, and he confirmed it when he was speaking in Paris today, that the idea of tax breaks or tax incentives for institutional investors might be introduced. That has gone down like a lead balloon with the opposition. It made leaders questions today several times, and people kind of questioning, is this a return to the good old days of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, of trying to incentivise the wrong kind of people to come into the market?
Okay. Sean Kyne, there was the Taoiseach was quoted, he's not your party leader, but he was quoted as telling his own party that people should brace themselves for a raft of unpopular decisions on housing. Have you got a similar briefing, and what are regarded as the decisions that might be unpopular?
No, so I'm not exactly sure what was said at Fianna Fáil gathering, but certainly we haven't heard that message within the Fine Gael parliamentary party. I know there will be obviously a review by the Housing Agency in relation to the rent pressure zones, how they have worked. I know about 85% of the country now is covered by rent pressure zones, and one of the issues that I come across in some of the larger electoral areas where a rent pressure zone is included, the whole electoral area would be included rather than, you know, the most the area where the most pressure might be. So there are issues that could be looked at, but certainly it is important to state, and I think Minister Chambers has stated it today, no matter what is done in any review or any new policy, renters have to be protected. This is about any change and any measures that are taking place are would be looked at to increase supply of housing, make it more attractive to get private investment into this country. And that private investment, I know some of them have bad names, but we're talking about pension funds. We're talking about international money coming into this country to help build houses. And the solution to supply is not just the money that's ring-fenced by the government, but it is that private investment.
Can you see why people might be concerned? If there aren't entrants to the market at the moment, that the incentive might be higher rents and progressively higher rents so that those investment funds can guarantee an ever-increasing return to investors?
No, we want to see lower rents. We want to see lower house prices. We want to see a more sustainable market. We want to see people be able to afford their own homes. And to do that, you need to increase supply. As population is increasing, or even as population is static, you need to increase the supply of houses, and that's what this is about.
Okay, I'm going to come to Paul Donnelly and Gary Gannon in just a moment. We do want to go to a short interview we did with Anne-Marie O'Reilly, National Advocacy Manager with the housing charity Threshold. And I started by asking her how her organisation felt about changes to rent pressure zones being up for discussion and what the outcome might be.
Ourselves and Threshold, you know, we were anticipating that the rent pressure zones would be reviewed this year because the timeline was extended until the end of 2025. And what we hope to see happen is a really good, careful consideration of how the rent pressure zones have been working and the impact they've been having. And if we are going to change to a different system, that be evidence-based and a solid plan put in place as to how we'll move to a different system. Because we can't abruptly stop the RPZs, nor can we just bring it to an end and not have anything take its place. We can't have that cliff edge. Because while RPZs have had a moderate impact on rents, rents have still been going up. So I suppose our concern would be if we get rid of rent regulation entirely, rents will soar.
And have you any suggestions or any ideas as what you'd like to see replace them, or are you happy enough to wait for the outcome of the review? And if the approach and recommendation is evidence-based, you'd be happy potentially to go with that?
Yeah, so we have gotten behind the Housing Commission's recommendation that a system of reference rent be used. And obviously,
you might explain that.
So that's where the rent is pegged to basically the quality and the amenities that are on offer, that a value be placed on those. So you could look up, well, a three bed semi-detached with a BER of C, two bathrooms and a front and back garden. Well, all those and close to a train station. That's all worth something. And that's going to bring in a very different rent than say a three bed semi with a BER of F and no garden and not near something like a train station. So I suppose the worth of all those things would have to be calculated out, and then a database be created so that landlords and tenants could look and see, well, what can be charged for this property based on its facilities, its amenities, its location, its quality, and guidance be given on, you know, can the rent be a bit above or below that? Obviously, we'd prefer a bit below that. Anyone renting would prefer a little bit below that. And that to be put in place so that the rent's actually connected to the quality of the home.
And when you say that would be a guide, this reference rent, would you be talking about enforcement of that? Or would landlords still be free to charge whatever they could get for the property, regardless of what the reference rent was?
So from our perspective, yeah, it would be a preference that it be something that they have to adhere to, rather than go back to a system where it's a kind of a free-for-all approach. And, in some countries, and I want to say it's Germany, the Netherlands, I actually can't remember off the top of my head, they both operate systems like this, but certainly in one of the jurisdictions, you know, the rent can be within 10% of the reference rent. You know, so it doesn't necessarily have to be on bang on the nose, but, you know, within 10%. And if something like that was brought in, and it would have been brought in a phase and planned basis too, because we do hear from the landlord representative organisations that there are some landlords out there who were charging very low rents before rent regulation came in, and would want to now bring those rents up to be more in line with what's out there in the market. We do. There is a possibility that some people are paying very reasonable rents could suddenly find their rents go up because the reference rent is higher. So that's why this would have to be very carefully considered, very well planned and implemented if we were to move to something like that. But it seems like a reasonable long-term option, something that could remain in place into the future and providing at least a level of certainty to all stakeholders. Well, this is the lay of the land now. This is how it's going to work in Ireland. It's not going to change again in another 5 years or another 6 years.
Right. And at a time like this, when this is up for debate, does it make renters nervous? Is there stress out there when people think that what might be on the table is the removal of protections in order to incentivize further investment into the rental sector? They might deduce from that rents are going to go up to try and get people into the sector and they'll be the ones paying the bill.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. You know, for anyone out there, because I suppose the topic has been, it's been, you know, in the media the last few days. It's, you know, you go on your social media feed, you turn on the news and you hear it. And yeah, people are thinking, all right, does that mean at the end of this year, my rent's going to go up? Does that mean I could be paying absolutely anything come this time next year? So it's there. It's in the background for people, definitely.
Anne-Marie O'Reilly there, Thresholds National Advocacy Manager, speaking to me a bit earlier. And we're going to go back to our panel here in studio. Paul Donnelly, the review of the rent pressure zones was allowed for in the Housing Commission report. There's been lots of commentary about how it's not keeping rents down. So change was always going to come. You're not surprised by that bit of it, are you?
No, but I think, and just to echo what's been said, this is terrifying people, because there's only one way that the rents are going to go if there are current restrictions that are in there, which again, you know, hasn't stopped the rents going up. There are rents that are being paid in this city from 20,000 to 36,000 euro. Last year, I had a group of residents in an apartment block where the developer, the owner of the building who bought the building off an old landlord, renovated the building, and the rents went from 1,100 euro to 2,100 euro when the renovations were completed. So that's the scale of the money we're talking about here. And this would be in an area, you know, this is in Mulhuddard. This is not, we're not talking about Castleknock here. We're not talking about, you know, the more expensive areas in Dublin 15. This is in Mulhuddard where people are paying 2,000, 2,500 euro for new rents new bills that are coming through, which are part of the rent pressure zone. So I think what people are absolutely terrified, because what we're talking about here is the difference between people being able to afford to pay the rent or not being able to afford to pay the rent. And the minute they stop paying their rent, then they break their tenancy and all of the rights that they have are gone. Right. So we're potentially looking at, you know, thousands of people who are looking
How would you strike the balance between, and Gary Gannon, I'll get your view on this as well, how would you strike the balance between the need to get more finance into a sector where more building needs to be done, that all of that would not come necessarily from the state, and incentivise people to invest in a way where the end user, the renter, doesn't suffer?
Well, here's the problem. We're going back to the developer again. We're going back to incentivising developers, incentivising the market. If the market was going to solve this problem, it would have done so already. And it clearly can't. So what we need, and what we had called for, is a massive state intervention to build social and affordable housing. We cannot continue to allow the private market to run amok and to be able to charge whatever rents that they want. So we absolutely need the state to step in, and not to incentivize developers, but to incentivize builders to build social and affordable housing. And that's through the local authorities.
All right, Gary Gannon.
Yeah, it's difficult to not repeat what's already said. So I'll probably start on the Taoiseach over the weekend. Like, I mean, what he's saying over the weekend when he actually starts to almost like Donald Trump flood the zone with almost like information, everybody comes focused on, and then the next day the information changes. In addition to investors needing certainty, actual renters need certainty in this city. So when we have a scenario where we're talking about a very substantial change, one that's factored into the Housing Commission, admittedly that's fine, but we need certainty as to what that actually means. This is not like some commentary. This is the Taoiseach on National Airways making these statements. Look, in terms of what we need, we actually need to start off a conversation rents in this city and throughout Ireland, the too high. I mean, one proposal is always going to be what we had in terms of zoned land for affordability, approved fund and the approved housing bodies. They have access to different sources of funding, and let's get building through mechanisms which weren't failed us in the past, which what we've seen through tax breaks for developers and all of these sort of things. We've heard that before.
Do you see any role for private investment?
Of course we do. Mm. I mean, of course we do. We've really reiterated that constantly. This is not a private development versus public development or anything of the sort, but it is about certainty and recognising that rents, the housing market is dysfunctional. We've got failed policies of the past. There's no need to repeat them. We can actually have innovation in terms of zoning land for affordability, as we've already said, and actually applying those mechanisms and using the approved housing bodies as a way of bringing down. Look, this is insidious. We're going to talk shortly about a number of getting more Gardaí, getting teachers. People can't afford to live in the cities. So, I mean, we need to start a conversation from that point and then absolutely have the conversation, but appreciate the reality as we do it.
Questions need to be asked of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in relation to this, because just before, we're weeks into a government and now all of a sudden this wonderful Housing for All strategy that they had lauded throughout the election is now all of a sudden being nitpicked because it's not working. You know, we know that they lied. The 40,000 figure of housing, we know that they lied in relation to that. And now we're looking at the rent pressure zones. None of these were raised during the election. They thought everything was wonderful. Everything was going to be perfect if we got elected in again. And now look, they recognise that this system has failed.
I disagree absolutely with the term lie. I mean, Minister O'Brien wrote in good faith to his own party leader in Taoiseach and to the Taoiseach, stating that his view was that there would be exceed 40,000. And that was in good faith. We've actually surpassed the targets for the period 22 to 24, but we need more, and it is heartening the fact, and I think the 40,000 figure was derived partly by the fact that there was a huge increase in commencements in 2024, over 60,000 houses being commenced. So I'm disappointed.
Well, commencement notices and commencement are one thing.
You cannot finish a house unless you commence it.
I suppose if you're going to say that, on that, before you engage with the other thing, you know, if somebody is writing to the party leader and they're saying a figure of 40,000, and yet the central bank, the ESRI and the CSO are not the basis for that figure. I mean, you can have all the good faith you want, but there's something wrong with your sources.
Clearly there was an issue with
but why ignore the state endorsed sources, I suppose, when you're providing official government figures?
Many sectoral experts also agreed that we would reach the 40,000. Some would say 35 to 40, some would say 33 to 37,000. So there was experts supporting that analysis. But I said that analysis was based on, partly on the basis that there was that increase in commencements. So I think, I disagree fundamentally with the use of the word lie, because, you know, to accuse a minister of lying is actually quite serious. He clearly was incorrect, but he went out and gave a figure in good faith right into the Taoiseach.
Would it be fair to say that the net result was the public was misled?
The figures were wrong, unfortunately. But as I said, the overall targets have been reached for the period 2022 to 24. But clearly, we need to build, and that is part of the reason they're looking at a review or possibility of a review of the rent pressure zones. And I agree with Anne-Marie O'Reilly at threshold there that there has to be careful consideration to any plans that are made to protect renters, but to encourage that mixture of state investment for affordable and social housing,
just to address the other point before we get back to the rest of the panel, that. In the general election manifestos, in the programme for government, the issue of tax breaks and changes to rent pressure zones not highlighted. This is coming as a surprise to people. That was raised in the Dáil today. What do you say to that?
Well, the rent pressure zones were brought in initially with Fine Gael government in 2016, and they were extended up to the end of this year. So the commitment was to extend to the end of the year. I cannot say what is going to replace, if there is to be a replacement. Maybe it'll be extended as are for 2 years, I don't know. There is a review taking place, but as I said, careful consideration has to be given to any change to ensure that renters are protected while maximising the investment coming in to ultimately build more houses and drive down the cost of the value
both.
Of housing.
You can't do both.
Of course you can do both. You have state investment and private investment. That has always been the case.
If you are handing it over to the private sector, you cannot have both.
It's a mixture.
Because on the one hand, Jack Chambers said today that we need to get more investment from the private sector. Now, if the private sector are saying, on the one hand, we can't invest in this because we're not going to make enough returns, and on the other hand, we're going to reduce rents by increasing the amount of property. That doesn't absolutely make sense, because you're telling me that they're going to invest on the basis that their rents are going to reduce.
Again, we have to protect renters.
That makes no sense.
If that's rent
Where's
credits,
the logic in
if,
that?
If that's ex- well, the logic is to provide certainty in relation to investment. We need about as
so that means
said,
rents,
20 billion
rents will either stay the same, which they are already acknowledged as very high, or they go higher.
We can counter that by renters credits that we have provided by actually possibly increasing those.
They're only €1,000 a year, which I don't think is actually doing a huge amount of renters.
But
I do think when we're looking at any review of the rent pressure zones, and we know that we're going to have kind of a revised version of the Housing for All plan in the coming months, I think the government is going to have to look at how it sets out its data, because I mean, we're talking about this 40,000 homes figure being based on commencements, but I think the government has to look at itself and question, was it lulled into a false sense of security because it had waivers introduced last year on development levies, on things like water connections, and were these projects, were commencement orders placed just because they wanted to get these levies, or were they placed because people actually thought they were going to build these homes? So this all has to be taken into consideration when the government is doing these things. And I mean, it's been a very ropey start for the government over the last 3 weeks, especially on the issue of housing, which is remarkable when it continued to say it was its number one issue. And I think if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil want to get anywhere over the next 5 years, it's going to have to really look at how it's dealing with this issue, because it beggars belief that despite the fact that we have been speaking about housing for 5 years, it seems like we are getting absolutely nowhere.
Right, Gary Gannon.
I'm even starting to doubt the capacity for the consideration to be careful. I mean, if you look at the rhetoric over the weekend, there was nothing careful about that, how that was presented to the public. If you look at the figures in terms of which figures were chosen, which ones wasn't, look, I appreciate the concept of somebody lying as a very serious accusation, but particular figures were chosen with a direct purpose in mind, that you were more favourable looking than others. I mean, that does undermine the confidence of the public in terms of, even when we look at the RPZs coming up, that they won't actually be done with kind of more politic in the mind, and who exactly we are listening to. Because, I mean, if you ask an investor what they're going to need, they're going to tell you they need more return on their investment. That's not going to be a surprise to anybody. If you ask the public what they need, they're going to say they need the rents to come down. And for that to happen, there needs to be some degree of innovation, some degree of flexibility, and actually just a general solution-led focus. Look,
More supply.
But that doesn't mean give the investors hand over the alternative.
That's what Anne-Marie was talking about there.
But
that balance.
What will more supply solve? We're in a time at the moment where interest rates are being cut by the European Central Bank, which means people will be able to borrow more. In 2005, mm-hmm. there were around 80,000 houses per year being built, and house prices continue to rise for another 3 years after that. So if the public has been told that increased supply is going to solve this problem, are they being sold a pup?
Absolutely.
So you're saying we don't need more supply?
Of course.
What are you saying?
If you rely on the private sector, then absolutely. You need the state to intervene to build social and affordable housing. Housing that people can afford. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the developer-led policy that has been in place for the last number of years. You failed, and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the last government, has failed on every single metric in terms of the supply of social and affordable
Sean
housing.
Between 2022 and 2024, we've actually exceeded our targets, but we need to continue growing that. And I said there are positive figures, assuming the 60,000 is real, which I have no reason to not believe it.
One voice at a time. We'll come to you in a minute, Gary Gannon.
Again, you cannot complete a house unless you start it, and we want to see that. There are particular issues with the completion of apartment blocks, which are have huge costs and, you know, not entirely viable, and that is one of the problems there. But we see around the country, we see developments up and down the country that have started. We need to see that investment, not just in actually building the houses, but putting in place the infrastructure.
But that's the issue. You've just hit on the issue, isn't it? When you're building apartments, the cost is huge. And for somebody who is going to invest in that from an investment fund or, you know, from whatever structure they have, they're going to have to show that that investment can wash its face. So for a high-cost apartment, that's just going to have to pay for itself, isn't it? Unless the state is building it at a loss, there's no other way to do that cheaply.
And the comments in the Dáil today from Minister Chambers and from others is that renters will have to be protected in any changes that take place. And how that is provided, whether it be in rent credits or whatever else, they have to be protected. But we need to increase the supply of housing. And to do that, you need the investment from outside. And for outside investment, there needs to be certainty in relation to
that. But again, that's just a transfer of wealth, for example. If you see 30% of renters at the moment that are living in HAP accommodation, who otherwise would like to be in social or even affordable housing, I mean, that's just a massive transfer of wealth from the state to the developer. What we're advocating here is for actually to, and I keep reusing the phrase because I can't believe we don't do it, Norm and other European jurisdictions, zone land as affordable, activate the approved housing bodies, allow that for development that people can access, be that even social housing need or even just the essential workers we need in their cities. It's a solution.
I would like to see HAP replaced in the longer term. I would like to see that.
But it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight.
But Gary Gunner, even if you activated the housing bodies, we have half the number of people working in construction as we're working in 2005 when there was 80 to 90,000 units being put out. So even on those figures alone, greater investment into that sector with half the number of people that were working there at that time. Is the value going to be got?
It's going to have, I mean, things are going to have to improve in that regard. We do need workforce planning. We need to get more apprentices in. We need to start teaching people how to be the electricians, JPs, block layers. The technologies are changing. That requires workforce planning and being strategic in regards. I think absolutely that's a challenge, but it's not insurmountable.
We can also reorientate the construction industry away from motels and hotels and build to rents and commercial properties.
Right.
But true incentivization.
But for renters out there, they'll have heard what Threshold have had to say, and you know, they'll be wondering what these reference rents are going to mean to them. For example, one point being made by a listener here on 51551, suggest tax incentives and they'll hold off until they get them. That's what happens, is what one person says. We'll come back to that point. But the issue of reference rents, you know, Threshold likes the idea of them if rents can be kept within a kind of a 10% zone of what that reference rent is. Do you see an appetite in government for that, Sean Coyne?
Again, I don't know. I don't know what the thinking is. As I said, the housing agency are carrying out the review at the moment in relation to how the RPZs have functioned. And I'm sure they and others will throw out and suggest alternatives if they do.
Do you think it's a good idea?
I've listened to Anne-Marie and I've written to her the description. Again, in practice, and I'm thinking of my own in the city of Galway, how will that operate? I don't know. Where would those areas be? It needs to be teased out. Right. But I said the most important thing is, you said, careful consideration to any changes for the benefit of renters.
Okay.
You can talk about all the schemes in the world. You can call them whatever names you want, but it has to be affordable. If it's not affordable, then we're back to a situation where people are paying absolutely astronomical amounts. People who are paying under the counter, people are paying top-up money to landlords because the HAP is not, they're not able to pay the rent to a landlord. So, for example, rent could be €2,500 or €2,000. HAP pays 1,500, the tenant pays 500, and then 500 quid under the counter to a landlord. That is happening everywhere. Everyone knows it. Every local authority, every HAP, it is happening all over the place. And yet nobody is talking about it. So when we're talking about rents, we're talking about the official rent, and then we're talking about the unofficial rent, which is being paid under the counter to people. So this is the dysfunctional market that we have at the moment.
That's an enforcement issue you're looking at.
It's the reality of people live. Yeah, yeah. They won't be able to afford to live anywhere. They won't be given a property if they don't do deals like that.
Okay, we're going to go to our listeners here. Hello, moved into my 2.5-bedroom flat in Balbriggan in 2013 at €900 a month. Now pay 1,550. Absolutely, RPZ saved me. Landlord will be charging me 2,200 today. Terrifying. Somebody else saying, up to the 1980s when Ireland was far poorer, local councils employed their own construction workers to build all social housing on a not-for-profit basis with no need whatsoever to rely on for-profit private developers. A state construction company could do the same job today if government wasn't so tied to the private market, says Kieran in Tralee. Sean on Blue Sky says, I think I smell the canvas of the Galway tent being unfurled again. And Dennis says, having lived comfortably in bedsits in my late teens to early 30s in both Ireland and the UK at a rent of equivalent to 15 to 20% of my salary rather than 50 to 70% of salary, it's my experience that accommodation crisis, homelessness and exorbitant rent resulted from government regulation of the accommodation sector. That's from Dennis. Okay, we're going to turn the page and move on to other issues.